In the name of God, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Good morning.
Good morning.
As I was looking at Romans this week, I decided I should preach the gospel, and I tried to write a sermon on the gospel, and then I decided I should just maybe be obedient for a change. So as I was looking at this reading from Paul's letter to the church in Rome, the thing that just kept coming back to me is this reality of how easy it is to get off track with God, amen? How easily we are distracted. The sin of our lives keeps sort of poking its head up and just seems so easy, doesn't it? To just say, well, you know, they'll be okay if I don't show up. I don't need to be a part of everything. I don't have to read scripture today. I don't have to pray today. I don't have to do what I know God wants me to do. Because there's other things in life, isn't there? There's things that are important to us. And we want to grab a hold of those things. We choose what we want. Whether it's our actions, whether it's our comfort, whether we choose our fear over the boldness that we have by the power of the Holy Spirit, whatever it is, we can convince ourselves. And in case you're struggling with it, you can usually get a hold of someone else, right? And so you know what I mean. It's hard to get up here and talk in front of people. It's okay if you don't want to do that. Now, I've never said that, but it doesn't make it any less true. But we can find someone that will help us justify, amen? And then we can feel okay. It's okay. Everybody does it this way. That in itself is that sort of slippery slope where we get outside of the will of God. And we grab a hold of those moments, and we find others to help us grab a hold of them. And it's not hard to do because all of us at some point are trying to do that. Because we get asked to do a lot of things by God. God is moving us in particular directions. And we're thinking, how far? You know, how far is he going to take us? And the fact of it is, we don't know. The question is, are we willing to go to find out? And we struggle, and a lot of what Paul's talking about is in line with that. And I was thinking, well, what's really at the core? And he talks about that a little bit, and as I was thinking about what's at the core of this situation, I was reflecting back on my previous work down in Manatee County, where I encountered a lot of people in recovery programs, 12-step programs. We had 30 meetings a week, right in the office building where I spent my days. It was a very active place. And so I spent a lot of time around that community. So very often people would come to me who were in their 12-step program and they'd come to do step 5, which follows step 4, shockingly. Step 4 is where you write down all the things you've done to hurt other people and all your wrongs. Step 5 is where you sit down with somebody and you basically confess it. So they would come to me. I qualified for 2 reasons. 1, community, and a priest. So you're supposed to confess it to someone else who is in the program. And so they could come and confess it to me, and I was a priest, so they felt comfortable it was never gonna get anywhere else. But wait, let me tell you, I'm just kidding. But the fact is, I would usually start with, well, let's back up a little bit. Let's find out where you are. Step 1, you found out your life was out of control and it was insane because you couldn't control alcohol. That's a paraphrase, by the way. And they're like, yeah, absolutely. Okay, then in step 2, you decided there was a power greater than yourself that could return you to sanity. Yes, okay. Step 3, you turned over your will and your life to God as you understand God. Sound like your journey a little bit? Very often, you know, the answer I would get to that question, have you done that? I don't know how to turn my whole life over. Because it requires turning over your control. Oh. And they're like, I don't know how to do that. I said, really? Now, there were some really tough cases in there. I said, so where's your family? They're gone. Where's your job? It's gone. Where's your car? It's gone. Where's your house? It's gone. Well, where did it go? My alcoholism. Oh, okay. So you do know how to turn your whole life over to something else, don't you? Isn't that true for all of us, though? But the problem I think we face, and a problem when I say we, you do know I mean me, is we want to give God just enough of our control in our life that we can feel like we're not out of control. Amen? I mean, we're good with what God does, and we love it when he uses us, but let's face it. How far are we really going to go? Are we going to just jump up and start doing the work that he calls us to do every single time he calls us, or are we a little bit hesitant? Are we willing to stand up and speak, stand up and pray in front of other people out loud? Afraid that we won't know what to say, even though in Scripture he says, when you need to stand up and defend yourself on my behalf, I will give you the words. He promises that. But we don't always hear this piece, do we? He promises to provide. He promises to equip. He promises to send a spirit. He promises to give us the gifts. He promises all these things, and he does them, amen? And then when we're faced with an opportunity to use them, then we decide whether or not we should. Sometimes our sin is that simple. It's a lack of obedience to God. And it's a sin, struggle with a sin that has existed since, well, we're going to blame our parents. Our first parents, Adam and Eve. They were in the midst of it, walking with God. Can you imagine? Walking with God in paradise. Unfortunately, it came with a rule. Obedience to God. God said, don't touch this. And they went, oh, we'll see. Well, they were tempted, really. The evil one slithers in and says, you can do that. He's just trying to keep you from knowing everything there is to know. You won't know the full truth until you eat that fruit. He doesn't want you to know that. He wants to control you. So they went for it. We inherited it. I know we don't like to say original sin in the Episcopal Church, but we can have that theological discussion anytime you want. Because let me know when you've ever met a human being that wasn't initially struggling, and when there was some time in your life when you weren't initially struggling with the reality that you want to focus on you first. Our ego slips in, doesn't it? Our fears slip in. That turning it all over to God is not so easy. That journey in that 12-step program is not so different than yours. It is a spiritual journey, by the way. Ours is similar. As Christians, whether you're in that program or not, the program remains the same. Are you choosing to turn your will and your life, your control, over to God? Why would we do it? That's the battle. We do it, and Paul will tell us a little bit later why we do that, but it becomes this inner spiritual battle that we fight every single day. Most of us. Maybe y'all are better than I am. But we fight it pretty much every single day. So in Romans, Paul is describing dying and rising with Christ and the struggle of being slaves to that we have, our struggle of being a slave to sin rather than slaves to righteousness. It's where we fight the fight. And just to lay a little bit of groundwork of what he has to say in chapter 6, I just want to give you two verses before today's lesson where he states in verse 4 what we need to remember. Remember this, especially in those moments when you're struggling. Should I not? What is God asking me to do? Am I looking for excuses or am I trusting? Trust in this. Therefore, we have been buried with him by baptism into death, so that just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, so we too might walk in newness of life. See, the old sinful life we can put aside. We can take this newness of life that we've received through Jesus Christ and the power of his Holy Spirit and have a new life. That doesn't mean we're not going to keep looking back at the old one from time to time. And he continues as we go a little bit further down to verse 11. He says, "So you also must consider yourselves dead to sin and alive to God in Christ Jesus." You must. You must consider yourself dead to sin and alive in Christ Jesus. If you're going to truly understand what Paul is teaching today, you must consider yourself dead to sin. That doesn't mean there is no temptation. It doesn't mean that there aren't any slip-ups. It doesn't mean there won't be times when you step off of the path that God's laid out for you. See, and we know that we're going to make it through that also, as Paul continues to teach. He says, "Therefore, do not let sin exercise dominion in your mortal bodies to make you obey their passions. No longer present your members to sin, your fullness yourself, as instruments of wickedness, but present yourselves to God as those who have been brought from death to life, and present your members to God as instruments of righteousness. For sin will have no dominion over you, since you are not under law, but under grace." It's not that we won't slip up. The question is, what are you going to claim? Are you going to claim that slip up and just go, you know, it's a whole lot easier to stop struggling? If in your spiritual journey, you get to a place where it's really not a struggle, I suspect you might be off the path. If you are not struggling, if you are not in this spiritual battle, you have lost the battle. Period. Sometimes it looks like big things, sometimes it's little things. But if you're not questioning yourself and whether or not you're in alignment with God on a pretty regular basis, probably daily, some of us hourly, you are probably not in the will of God. See, that's the funny little thing about it. The evil one slips in there and convinces you that whatever it is you're doing is okay, and you go, okay. And the primary reason we do that is it's easier, amen? It's easier not to get up and come to church on Sunday. It's easier to not help that person in need. Because when we start to do those things, you know the primary thing God wants from us? Everything. He never stops. He wants all of you. And he is relentless, by the way. But we have this opportunity. We just went through this journey this past week. The kingdom. We went on a quest. A kingdom quest. How many of you all volunteered this past week or donated or spent some sort of time on this VBS? Now, those of you who are here every single day, you got up every morning early, maybe loaded up a truckload of grandkids and drove them over here. And they're super friendly in the morning. Teenagers, half of them. Love it. Works well because I'm about the same.
True.
Same height at least. I know, I heard it. The reality is that there were days, be honest, as a volunteer, was there a day where you thought, not today, not in this moment, not again? If Michelle does that one more time, I swear I'm never working with her again. Amen? It happens. That's the reality of it. What makes the difference is at some moment we forget about how it makes us feel and we start to look at what God's doing. Amen?
Amen?
And then we keep moving. That's where the obedience comes in. That's where we go from being a slave to our sinful, selfish humanity, fallen humanity, and we start looking for the righteousness of God. And it's in those moments, and that's what it really looks like. If we're not having that struggle, we're probably not doing anything that matters. Amen? I mean, if your spiritual life is just all glorious and wonderful, let's sit down. I can help you. It's got to be a challenge. The trick is getting from the place of understanding that that challenge is the glory of God. That is the transformational place. That's where we change. That's where we grow. That's where we become more of who God called us to be. It's not so easy. Verse 12. Don't worry, I'm not preaching the whole thing. If you're just panicking, thinking, oh, finally he's getting to the lesson. He says, therefore, do not let sin exercise dominion in your mortal bodies to make you obey their passions. No longer present your members to sin as instruments of wickedness, but present yourselves to God as those who have been brought from death to life, and present your members to God as instruments of righteousness, for sin will have no dominion over you, since you are not under law, but under grace. We've got to hold on to that grace, because we are for sure going to miss the mark. And Paul continues in it. Verse 15 and 16. What then? Should we sin because we are not under law but under grace? By no means. Do you not know that if you present yourselves to anyone as obedient slaves, you are slaves of the one whom you obey, either of sin, which leads to death, or of obedience, which leads to righteousness? How many times have we been out there doing God's work in his will or striving to and fallen short because something came up within us that was not fully trusting in this God that we have, and we backed off? Probably haunts you a little bit. And then there's those days where we go, you know what? I'm just going to step in and I'm going to do it anyway. And then we see the glory of God. Amen? We got to get out of the way and let God do what God's intending to do. We got to win the battle by losing ourselves to God. It's an obedience thing. Nobody likes to hear that word obedience. Nobody likes to hear the concept of being a slave to one or another. But aren't we a slave to our selfishness from time to time? To our sinfulness? To our desires? If that's what's driving you, if that's what makes everything tick in your world, it's a choice. See, we do know how to turn our lives over to something else. The question is, can we do our step three and turn our fullness of our life to God? We will need his grace because we will fail. That's why in a 12-step program, it's one day at a time. As one of my favorite drunks that I know stated this past week, do you know what the longest amount of time tracked in the Guinness Book of World Records, longest amount of time for sobriety? One day. Our spiritual life is not unlike that. Can we do this day? Can we do the next day? And here's the thing. When day three comes, or like we call during VBS Thursday, and you're thinking it'd probably be easier to stuff one of these people in the dumpster rather than continue on, and you don't, out of obedience to God, you do what you're there to do, and you put your smile on your face, and you work your way through it, and you work with the people God's given you to work with, his grace comes in. And we can see and feel what he's doing and know it. It's obedience that frees us from sin and ourself. And it enslaves us to God and his righteousness. It becomes what we want most. But just like all those other things that we want so badly, we want those because we chase them. And I promise you, if you change your mind and you choose to chase God, you will feel the same way about him. I promise you. He promises you. You will enslave yourself to the righteousness of God. And then we will become who God intended us to be when he created us. Paul says in verse 22, "But now that you have been freed from sin and enslaved to God, the advantage you get is sanctification. The end is eternal life. For the wages of sin is death, but the free gift of God is eternal life in Christ." Sanctification. We all hear that, but let me define it for you. The process of sanctification is being set apart and made holy. To be set apart and made holy, we have to let go of those sinful desires and turn our desire to Christ. We got to do step 3 if you want to get to step 5. The opportunity is there for all of us. Why would we do such a thing? Eternal life in Christ, which will begin now. It's eternal. No beginning, no end. It's forever. So we surrender ourselves to the fullness of God. We can walk with God now. And brothers and sisters, I don't know how it goes in your world, but those times when I'm actually focused and doing God's work and his will, even when he corrects me, I find joy. But I can tell you, a life enslaved God and his righteousness is better than any life I have ever built for myself. And I promise you, it will be the same for you. Better than you could have imagined. And you'll find yourself thinking, this is so much better than I deserved. And you know what? You'll be right. Because we have a God that wants you to have it. And we have a God that's willing to give it to you. But at some point, you got to choose it over the world. Amen.